You'll want to hear this in a few minutes. Statistically persuasive evidence that a bad day for stocks can make you sick.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. I'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, retail. It was a useful place to find work before the holidays, but less so in the cold light of January. JCPenney said last evening it's closing 33 stores and putting 2,000 people out of work. The CEO says this addresses, quote, a strategic priority to improve the profitability of our stores. Penney is still recovering from an overhaul of its retail operations that went sour. At Macy's, where sales were strong during the holidays and profits on track, there will be 2,500 layoffs. Watch for more, says retail expert Britt Beamer, founder of America's Research Group.
You're going to see a lot of retailers, in my mind, close stores this year because they cannot go forward with more than 10% of their stores underperforming, and Penny's had probably 20% of their stores underperforming, so you'll even see more stores closing from Penny's.
In recent years, Best Buy and Sears had their own rounds of deep job cuts. For better or for worse, Nigeria today plans to announce the import of an idea from the United States. The second largest economy in Africa is trying something that sounds a lot like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, a system to back the mortgage market that will allow Nigerians to buy houses with less money down. BBC correspondent Chris Iwokor is in the Nigerian capital.
Most of the houses built here in Nigeria, especially in Abuja, are by private developers. And for you to acquire one, you will need to come up with about 20% of the total cost before you can get them to finance it. So what the government is hoping to do is to make sure the Nigerians intending to own a home does not require to bring a huge capital to be able to access a loan or mortgage for his house.
But there are questions about oversight, whether the government can sufficiently monitor this new Nigeria mortgage refinance company in a country where corruption is so often a problem. The view that the Dow Jones Industrial Average or S&P 500 are more than stock indicators, but some sort of readout on the national zeitgeist may not be so ridiculous after all. Put another way, there is statistical evidence now that the stock market crashes make people sick. A business professor led a team that went through the records of every hospital admission in California for more than a quarter century and found that on bad days for stocks, there's a spike in people getting admitted, not for things like cancer, but for conditions that might be stress-related, heart stuff, mental health, and so forth. UC San Diego professor Christopher Parsons is teaching at the Harvard Business School this year. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, a lot of folks have studied, of course, how investor psychology may affect stock prices and markets, but your research looked at it the other way around.
Yeah, it's exactly what we were interested in. We wanted to see whether market movements actually translated to changes in investor mental health. And so we looked at hospitalizations for primarily mental conditions such as anxiety, depression, panic disorder, which were potentially a function of market volatility and market downturns.
And it turned out what? That actually there is a relationship.
Turns out there is a relationship. It's fairly strong. So a 1% or 2% decline in the stock market confers or is associated approximately with an additional maybe 0.5% or 0.75% of hospitalizations for these conditions.
Well, actually, let's use a historical example. That awful day in the fall of 1987 when the market crashed, the share prices were down about 25%, if I remember right. What did you find for hospitalizations then?
Yeah, so in that particular case, what we found is that hospitalizations spiked about 5.5% right on the Monday, and there was nothing on the prior Friday, and there was nothing on the Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday after that.
Bang, right away this seems to happen.
What we find is that on a day of a severe price decline, there's an increase in hospitalizations that day, and the following day approximately of the same magnitude, that pretty much disappears on day three almost as quickly as it arose.
Let me first, though, ask you about what you think this tells us about investors.
I think what it tells us about investors primarily is that people are affected mentally by gyrations in their portfolios, just like they could be emotionally affected by anything else that goes on in their lives. So I'm 38 years old. The majority of my wealth is tied up in a 401k that I won't touch for 30 years. That means that my consumption decisions today should almost be completely unrelated to the value of that portfolio, and yet I check it probably every week. People tend to pay attention to their portfolios, even though those don't have meaningful impacts on their day-to-day consumption decisions, and it upsets them when they lose money.
I wonder about the effect reinforcing itself. You have a bad day on the market, people get sick, they go into the hospital, but I guess that could then make matters worse on the markets as you move forward.
I think that's exactly right. This is actually an idea that coincides with Robert Shiller's idea for how you get bubbles. So price increases lead to enthusiasm and to further price increases, and ultimately you can get prices to depart from fundamentals that way.
And this is also about more than just investment in the stock market. This is actually interesting as an almost public health finding.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, 30, 40 years ago, there wasn't nearly as much financial news as there is now. But now with the advent of technology, people now have the opportunity, I guess is one way to phrase it, to learn about financial news in real time. Most of that information probably doesn't matter, again, for day-to-day consumption decisions. And so this has the effect of injecting a source of extra volatility, extra uncertainty, extra fodder for worry for most investors. One could almost imagine that for many of us, in fact, probably most of us, could deal with a little bit less financial news.
I'm hearing what you're saying here. Here I am thinking that the work we do is a force for good, but in fact, we may be a public health menace. Christopher Parsons at UC San Diego's Rady School of Management is teaching this year at the Harvard Business School. Professor, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Christopher Parsons and Joseph Engelberg's paper is titled Worrying About the Stock Market, Evidence from Hospital Admissions. We put a link to it at marketplace.org if you want to read in. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.